right, take your Bibles. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We've been working our way through Ephesians on Sunday morning systematically, verse by verse. And I've been here 15 years, so y'all know by now I go through subjects and books, topics, but mainly it's through books. And I don't give you my outline of the text. We let the Holy Spirit give us the outline. It's in the text already. So this text today is easily outlined. As I talk to you about something, as we're going through the wealth and the walk of a Christian, and that's a classic title for the book of Ephesians, we come to a passage that I'm going to call in verses 11 and 12 simply without. Without. So let's begin reading in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And if you will, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Wherefore, remember that in being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which was called the uncircumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That at that time, I'm grateful for that time. I'm glad I moved past that time. Amen? Amen. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. I thought the missionary last Sunday was going to rob my text because he preached on this text, but he didn't tell you what I want to tell you about the text, so we're good to go here. I want to talk to you about without, what you were like before you met Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, as we open the text, we pray you open our hearts that, Lord, that we would remember what it meant to be lost, that we might appreciate more what it means to be saved. So speak to our hearts today. One here without Christ today, I pray will be the day that they surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they confess him with their mouth, believing in their heart. If there's another one here that whatever needs they need to be made, Lord, we pray that you'll work in their heart through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. And I pray, Father, if it's something that needs to be made public at the end, I pray for the invitation as we come to the altar. So we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to make a shocking statement to you that often, because we're not Jews, we often overlook. Did you know that to us Gentiles, God made no messianic promises? They were made to Israel. He promised Israel a kingdom, and he promised them a new covenant. We just come along as part of that promise that God has given to the Jews. And I'm going to explain that to you as I go. Judaism, Christianity is here today because it has its roots in Judaism. Okay? And I hope you understand that. Now, having dealt with what God did for the sinners in salvation in chapter 2, 1 through 10, what we were, what God did and why he did it, he tells us in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2 what we were when we were lost, but also he does that right here in verse 11 in pertaining to Israel, okay? That's the difference here. I like what the Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Commentary says about in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, Paul taught the salvation of individual Jews and Gentiles by grace through faith. In the second half of chapter 2 that we're beginning to look at the next few weeks, he teaches the formation of one new and holy temple of God composed of former Jews and Gentiles now united upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So the question we want to look at today is, what is God's plan for the Jews and the Gentiles? And y'all know that we don't believe that God is through the nation of Israel. God will restore them, a promised kingdom to them. And we're Jew and Gentile alike, as we see in this section here, are going to be in one body called the Holy Temple, called the church. And whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, you must come through faith in Christ. And I've told you often about John Hagee that says that Jews go by the Abrahamic covenant, and we go by faith in Christ. That is a lie. We all go by faith in Christ, right? And if you don't come by faith, you're not part of the new Israel. Now, there's three words in this text that we're going to be looking at in verses 11 through 22 as it we hang our hat on. It's the word separation that we're going to look at today, what we were when we were lost in the flesh. Reconciliation next week. How God has brought us near through the blood of Christ. And then unification, how now Jew and Gentile alike in one body, okay? And we'll be going to look at that for the next 3 weeks. But today we look at what Gentiles were in verses 11 and 12. Notice verse 11. Gentiles were without. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the uncircumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Now, I am told from a historical background study on the book of Ephesians that the converts in the Ephesians church knew that God's plan was mostly up to that time about the nation of Israel. God's program was involved in the Old Testament. They were the uncircumcision. They were the circumcision, the Jews. And they looked down on the uncircumcision, the Gentiles. And they originally were to take the gospel, receive the king, take the gospel to the Gentile world, but they didn't do that. Now, circumcision was a mark of a covenant between God and the Jews. Today, we do that for hygiene purposes. Believers who trusted Christ have received a spiritual circumcision. Physical circumcision is no longer a sign of a covenant between us and God. It is spiritual circumcision. Paul said it this way in Colossians 2:11. He says, made without hands, circumcision of the heart. Now, let's get to the crux of the matter here in verse 11. What were we without in times past before we come to faith in Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible text very plainly here, Paul tells us and outlines it for us. There are five privileges that Israel had that we were without as Gentiles. Number one, as you see on the screen, we were without Christ. Now, most of the people in the Ephesian community in the city of Ephesus worship the god Diana, okay? The goddess Diana. And by the way, have you heard recently there are people who call themselves Baptist that also get involved in this worship of Diana? And so they were worshiping an idol here. And do you know also, too, that there are false teachers who are preaching and propagating today that it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, you're a Jew, or you're a Muslim, we are all children of God. Y'all have heard that, haven't you? I can tell you the people that are teaching it. But they're teaching that it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Muslim, or a Gentile, you're going to heaven. And that's the lie of the devil that people are propagating out there, that as long as you're sincere in whatever you believe, your God is just as good as my God. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's only one God, God Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament, and there's only one way to that God, and that's through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jews were to reach out to the Gentiles. They were to receive the kingdom, and they were to accept Jesus as the Messiah, but they didn't. And now we are without. But praise God, because of their rejection, Romans says, we have been brought in to the new covenant at that time. So they were without Christ. And that's bad enough, isn't it, to go through this world without Christ? People living their lives the way they want to, serving their pagan gods without Christ. But then secondly, without a nation. Notice what it says in verse 11 there. It says, verse 12, excuse me, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. God had called the Jews and gave them a nation and gave them his laws and his blessings, and they were to receive the Messiah. And they perverted his laws, they perverted his mandates, they perverted his statutes, and they rejected the Messiah. Though they knew the coming promise of the Messiah, they rejected him. And a Gentile could not enter into the nation as a proselyte. He could enter in as a proselyte, but he was not born into the nation himself. You can come in as a proselyte. But now the Bible says, we who are without a nation, the commonwealth of Israel, now have been both Jew and Gentile, been brought about into the new covenant. Israel was God's nation. Now, can I let you in on a little secret? Y'all know it. You've heard it enough from this pulpit. America is not God's chosen people. Amen? The nation of Israel is. And somehow or another, we think that this ain't going to happen to us, and this ain't going to happen to us because we're America. And we were founded on biblical principles. We were. But guess what? They're trying to destroy all that right now as we speak. And I don't I don't know how you feel about the Confederacy, but I do know you cannot erase history. Amen? Amen. And it doesn't start with the statues. What's going to be next is the Founding Fathers. And what's coming after that is the founding documents. In with that is the Constitution of the United States of America. We have anarchists and Marxists and communists in our country who are being funded by billionaires in other countries, George Soros being one of them, who are trying to bring down America from within. And if your head is in the sand, it's happening day by day in America. So you better cherish what you have. It's not about my grandfather, great-grandfather that fought in the Civil War, although that is heritage to me. It is about an attempt to erase history, because America doesn't deserve the statue we have. We have been wronging people, and now we got to be made right, and we got to be punished for it. That's it in a nutshell. That's what's happening. That's what it's all about here. How did I get off on that? Why did you let me get off on that, Ms. Wanda? Okay. We're without a nation, but also we're without covenants. Notice what it says there in verse 11. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Now, God did not make any covenants with the Gentiles in regard to the Messiah and the future glory. The Gentiles were aliens, and we were strangers. But he did with the nation of Israel. He had the Abrahamic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then the new covenant. Now, I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, if you think that I'm off track today. You see, God has made a new covenant with the nation of Israel, okay? And we who are the church have been given the privilege to come into this new covenant, okay? Now, because of their rejection, God's not going to cast them away totally, but they're going to be grafted back in to this new covenant, into the vine with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the classic passage on the new covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. And we have also privileged to be in. In Jeremiah 31, verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord." Verse 33, "But this they shall be a covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will make my law in their inward parts." Now, when is that? That's during the millennium when he returns at the Battle of Armageddon. "And write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them until the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is God's restoration of the nation of Israel in the millennial kingdom. Okay? God is not through with them. Now, you say, well, preacher, what about Genesis 12, 1 through 3? God has promised to bless the Gentiles through Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. But he did not make any Old Testament covenants with us Gentiles. Those were made with the Israel in regard to the Messiah and the future glory. And I don't know about you, God's plan, man. I'm glad that they rejected him, because you and I have a chance to come in, because the gospel was given to Paul to take to the Gentile world, and now we can be in this same new covenant. Amen? I hope y'all understand that today. So we were without covenants, but then we were without hope. You see that in our text, having no hope. Now, I can't get over this. It's not enough to be without Christ, but do we be with no hope? All these people in this world today who think they're doing right, they're without hope. And there's no hope. They're hopeless and helpless. No expectation of a personal Messiah or deliverer or kingdom age. They scoff at us when we tell them that Jesus Christ is coming again. Number one, that's proof he's coming. And that's number two, that we glory in the fact that we're able to suffer with him in those regards. He is coming. And he's going to wind this up. And, you know, it's going to be a pretty day. Amen? And we'll be able to be a part of it. Romans chapter 5, verse 7. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's the substitutionary death of Christ. He died in our place. He died for us. There's a big word there called penal substitution. Christ had to die. It wasn't enough for him just to come to die. He died in our place as the God-man, okay? He says, Paul said this here, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Saved from the wrath through him. For the believer, and we're pre-trib, pre-millennial, we're going into rapture. We're not going to be here in the tribulation, right? If you're a believer in Christ. And he saved us also from the wrath to come. Eternal hell, the second death. Amen? We will not taste that whatsoever. You remember what Paul told the grieving believers in 1 Thessalonians 4:13? They were grieving because their loved ones were being thought left behind. False teachers had come in and said, your loved ones are going to be left behind when Christ comes. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Folks, I'm glad that I don't have to stand by the graveside of my loved ones with no hope. I know I'm going to see them again. And I know they were believers, and I will see them again. But to have no hope in this world, having no hope, without a nation, without the covenants, without Christ, and then lastly, without God. I mean, it's bad enough to be lost, but to be without God in this world. You see it in verse 12. He says, having no hope and without God in this world. No matter how religious or moral we Gentiles tried to be, we did not know the true God. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can't go to heaven because our daddy was a preacher or a deacon. We can't go to heaven by our good merits and our good works because there are none. Christ came and died for the helpless and the hopeless, and he died in our place. And God revealed himself to the Jews as the one true God. And we're going to look at that tonight as we look at Deuteronomy 6:4. Jews, Orthodox Jews in the cult, says that we're worshiping three gods, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to show them from the very text they use in Deuteronomy 6:4 why we believe in the Trinity. And we're going to be looking at that tonight. He gave the Savior to the world through the Jews that they might share him with the Gentiles. But they rejected him, rejected the kingdom, and as a result, they're still without. All the Jews that have not come to Christ, unless they repent and believe in Jesus, they're going to perish in a devil's hell. It doesn't matter. As Brother Wayne brought it out in his prayer, religion is man trying to work his way to God. Christianity is God coming to man. Amen. In the form of his son. Now, this is a bleak picture here, isn't it? That Paul paints of us Gentiles in that day, or when we were in that condition, but we're no longer in that condition. They had no hope. God had not reached out to them to establish a covenant relationship. They were without hope. And however, as we're going to look at next week in verse 13, that through the blood of Christ, there can be reconciliation. Amen. We were once afar off. We were once separated. But now God, through the blood of Christ, is going to bring the Gentiles back to the Creator. And that this is what you see in verse 13 next week. Is Paul's version of the beginning of the church. Called out ones who now can be right with God through Jesus Christ. So notice that in verse 13. But now. Amen. I'm glad we're not like we were, but now. Amen? And I want to go ahead and read that verse there because I can't wait. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. Next week we're looking at verses 13 through 18. We'll talk about brought near. Today we talked about without, but we have been brought near. And we see the beginning of a new dispensation next week in verse 13. The beginning of the church age. Now, I want to ask you a question today. If you have not confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, then you are part and still are part of the group without. You have no hope in these five areas, these five privileges that were given to the nation of Israel. You are without. You know, there's only one way to heaven, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. And people say, well, God's not going to send anybody to hell. No, he's made every way he can, right, Brother Wayne? He gave his son on the cross. If you reject him, you reject the only way that's been made possible. God's not going to send anybody to hell. They're going to send their own self there by rejecting the only way of salvation. So if you have not confessed Jesus as Lord, that's what the Bible tells us to do, Romans 10:9. That will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, that but shall be saved. So it begins in the heart and comes out the mouth. And if you are without, then you're without all these blessings here in this life and in the life to come. It doesn't matter how good you try to be. You cannot arrive to a righteousness that takes you to heaven. It's only by the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to our account. And I know you get tired of me saying it, but when Kim Burgess goes to heaven, it's not going to be because of one shred of righteousness in my being. It's because the righteousness of Christ that has been transferred to my account. You need to understand that today. If you think being good gets you saved or being good keeps you saved, you've been wrongly deceived. It's all about believing in the person and the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, as our musicians come this morning, there's one here today without God, without Christ, without hope, without the covenants, without the blessings that we talked about this morning. Lord, they're going to continue to be without unless they come to Christ, having repented of their sins and believed only in the work of Christ on the cross. Thank you, Father, that we've moved past verse 11 and verse 12. We're not like we used to be, but now God has brought us near, and we thank you for that, because once we understand where we came from, we can better appreciate what you've done in our heart and our life. There's one here today, Father, that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray it will be today that they acknowledge him and bow the knee and bow the heart to him. Don't be ashamed of him. He wasn't ashamed of you. For 6 hours, he hung on a cross. Naked in pain, separation not only from the Father, but also the torments physically that he went through. For you, publicly, people mocked him. People laughed at him. They cursed him. And he did that for you. And yet many times we're ashamed of the gospel. God help us, Father. We're ashamed to speak his name. We're ashamed to witness. We're ashamed to let people know that we're a Christian. Help us get back on track here in these last days. Because as days get harder, if you're not totally sold out to the Lord, you're going to get off track. Father, I pray you have this invitation service, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.